You're listening to South Florida's good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Kurt Owen, and welcome back to Victory is Assured. We've been talking about knowing and believing the love of God and the importance of it, and we're trying to help you to learn to believe the love that God has for you. And one of the best ways to do that is actually look at the way the Lord acts towards people. And so we've been looking at for several days now different instances. We looked at how God treated Adam. We looked at what Jesus gave as an example of a loving father with the prodigal son. And now we've been looking at the woman caught in adultery in the very act. Now, if you've missed any of this, I strongly encourage you, please, please, please go to KurtOwen.com. It is absolutely free. Our partners make it possible for us to give your materials. And partners, don't forget, all of these people I'm telling right now can have this material for free. You made that happen. You have fruit in heaven. And so on the website, there is not just, you have an opportunity to get several free daily devotionals. One is on knowing and believing the love of God to help you get more rooted and grounded in it. There's also some additional messages on there that will help you with this, because guys, you need to get this down on the inside of you, because too many people are trying to have faith in a God that they don't know. And you need, this will make faith easier if you become convinced and convicted of God's intimate and intense love for you. Okay? So let's go through here and look at this with the woman caught in adultery. And this is John 8, and we're going to start in verse 2. Now, early in the morning, and I've taught on nearly all these scriptures now, so truly, if you haven't heard this, you need, seriously, to go to the website. Now, early in the morning, or you can subscribe to our podcast as well. Now, early in the morning, he came again to the temple, and all the people came to him, and he sat down and taught them. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now, Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. What do you say?" Because they're trying to trick him. He says, this they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they had continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest to the last. And Jesus said, and Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours?" Now again, Jesus is not listed among your accusers. Has no one condemned you? No one, Lord? Because there's still one guy here who can throw a rock, and it's Jesus. But is he? Is Jesus the one throwing rocks at you when you make a mistake? The answer is no. Because he's not going to, this woman was just caught in adultery. This just happened. And he's still not condemning her. Now, a lot of times people think condemnation is when you're told you're wrong. Right? And Jesus, well, let me just go on here. He says, "Go and neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Couple things. First off, he's not condemning her. He's not trying to make her feel guilty. He's not trying to make her feel bad. He's not trying to make her feel like an old unworthy dog. Now, plus, when he says, "Go and sin no more," it's clear that he's saying, "Lady, you sinned." But it's not condemnation. It's just true. You know, if I, just so you know, if I'm sitting there and I tell you you're wrong, I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying you're wrong. If I'm telling you you're in sin, I'd be, "Quit condemning me." Just because I tell you you're in sin does not mean I'm condemning you. What determines whether it's condemnation or not is my attitude of the heart and how you receive it. I could be telling you it's sin and you receive it as condemnation and it not be condemnation at all. Remember that, like I said, last Friday about how Jesus or how God, when he told Cain, you know, I'm not receiving your offering, it wasn't condemnation. In fact, he said, why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be received? But yet, who he took it as condemnation because Cain made it condemnation. God didn't make it condemnation. Cain did. On the other side of it, listen, I'm not pretending that religious people like this right here, like these people right here, I'm not pretending that religious people have not condemned people in sin. I'm just telling you that wasn't Jesus when they did it. That is not who he is. And if you think God has been condemning you from your sin, it's not true. It's not. It's not true at all. Okay? So he says, neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more. He does call it sin, though. Now, I've heard a lot of people, yeah, you've got to condemn sin. You've got to condemn sin. No, you can recognize it is sin. You cannot sugarcoat the fact that it is sin, but you don't necessarily have to condemn it. And you definitely do not have to condemn the sinner. And see, people review God as condemnation. And listen, there are denominations. There are groups that show up at funerals and condemn people, and they feel the need. Listen, I do not agree with homosexuality, but I don't necessarily condemn the homosexual. I don't agree with it, but on the other side of it, if I'm going to condemn the homosexual, I got to condemn the gossip. I got to condemn the worrier. And the truth of the matter is my Lord doesn't condemn people that are in those things. Now, he'll tell them, yeah, it's sin. And by the way, if I tell you that your sin is sin, I'm not condemning you. I'm just telling you that's the way it is. It'd be no different than if I said to you, your shirt is blue. It's just fact. I'm not trying to make you feel dirty. I'm not trying to make you feel unclean. If you choose to do that, that's one thing. If your conscience pricks you, that's one thing. But I think it's also important here to realize that God is not a condemner. Yes, he is. No, he isn't. In particular, he said this about Jesus. I want to look at a couple things here right quick. Let's go to John 3:16, and then we're going to read one of my wife's favorite verses of the Bible. Okay? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Okay, we all celebrate that. That God loved us more than he hated our sin. How do we know that? Because we were a sinful world, and yet he loved us and sent us our greatest help. But then my wife's favorite verse, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. When Jesus looks at this woman that was caught in adultery in the very act that just happened, and he doesn't condemn. That is not an anomaly. It is not something special. Actually, the Father sent Jesus into the world, not to condemn the world, but to save the world. Well, why didn't God, because listen, if God wants to judge people, why didn't God just throw rocks at her? Because ultimately, that's not what he wants. Will he judge sin? Yes. Has he judged sin? Already, in Jesus. Is God just? Yes, he is. But he doesn't want to condemn. It doesn't bring him joy. It doesn't bring him pleasure. Because God is not justice. God is just. But God is love. And God didn't send Jesus into the world to condemn the world. And if you're trying to condemn people in order to get them to serve Jesus, at some point you're going to run headlong into the fact that that's not why Jesus came. And listen, even if you're a brother and you're in sin, Jesus isn't condemning you. He's trying to save you because that sin will destroy you. It might be fun right now, but eventually it's going to destroy you. You cannot live whatever way the flesh dictates and it be okay. Now, ultimately, people say, well, are you saying I can just live with whatever way I want to and it's okay with God? Well, it depends, because people say, you're just saying you can live whatever way you want to, and it's okay with God. I'm living whatever way I want to today, and it's okay with God. It's just, for the most part, I don't want to do anything that isn't pleasing to God. I want to walk, as Colossians says, fully pleasing to Him. Okay? You understand that salvation is available to you, and salvation is not on the basis of condemnation. Salvation is on the basis of love. Jesus is not condemning you. He does not want you to feel dirty. He wants you to turn to Him. He wants you to give Him your life. He wants you to give Him your sin. He's already paid the price for it anyway. What He wants you to do is not to condemn you, but to save you. And so if you have been told that God is against you, that God, you know, I meet friends of mine all the time. Well, I know I'm going to hell. You don't have to. I know I'm not a good man. That's not about whether you're a good man. It's the fact that He's a good God and that He gave you His life, His love. He didn't come into the world to condemn you. He didn't come into the world to send you to hell. He came into the world to deliver you and so that you could be a part of His family. Now, Michael's going to give you an opportunity to accept Jesus. Do not turn away from this. Any condemnation you have received from Christians, and even from your own head and your own heart, did not originate with Jesus. God is greater than your heart, and He loves you. And He did not come into the world to condemn you, but you can turn to Him right now, and He will not condemn you. He will love you, and He will help you, because that's who He is. Listen to Michael right now.
Kurt Owen wants you to know that God really loves you. He sent His Son Jesus as a substitute for you. He took on your sins so you would not have to pay the penalty for sin. He also took on your sickness, disease, and injury so that you would not have to suffer from them. In order for you to receive the benefits of this redemptive power, you simply must accept Jesus as your Savior and make Him your Lord. This is an easy and simple thing to do and will have wonderful eternal effects. All you need to do is believe that He is alive and that He loves you. If you want the power of the living God to change your life from the inside out, simply repeat this simple prayer. Jesus, please come into my heart. Please save me. I believe that You are alive and that You love me and that You gave Your life for me. I believe that because I am asking, You are becoming alive in me right now. You are making me a new creation. I give You my old life while I accept Your life. I also make You my Lord. I commit to do what You say with the understanding that You will never burden me with things that I cannot do, but rather You lovingly teach me step by step. Holy Spirit, please also come into my life and empower me with the very power of God, the way that Jesus said You would. Father, thank You for giving Your Son and making this provision for me so that now I can actually call You Father. If you have just prayed this prayer, we would like to put a couple of things in your hand so that you will get some help on the path of your new life. Simply email the words, I have been saved, to connect@KurtOwen.com. Everybody in this ministry will continue to pray for you. We all love you, and we all want you to have a wonderful, wonderful life in God. Welcome to the family of God.
West of Old England, a WCNO corporate underwriter, has equestrian and western wear from head to toe for both horse and rider. They are your Wrangler Pro Rodeo and Horseman headquarters. They also have a boot department with Ariat, Double H, Carolina, Justin, Rocky Durango, Dan Post,
Lucchese Boots, along